welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, host of the program, also father of five and a pastor in Castle Rock, Colorado, broadcasting from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. And folks, trying to salvage something of faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century, John Meacom from Newsweek came out with an article a number of months ago called The End of Christian America, because people are not calling themselves Christians anymore. They don't care. 51% of Americans now call themselves Christians, down from 70% some 20 years ago. And folks, we are losing the Christian faith in Europe and Canada and America. Makes you wonder whether it'll be all gone in the next, say, 20, 30 years from now. Will Christianity disappear off the face of the earth? Have we found a better way to look at the world, the plot of destiny for mankind, to solve the problem of death, of sin, guilt, that kind of thing, to eradicate war or to save the planet? Man has always attempted such brave things on his own, and in the process he destroys the family, creates birth implosions, and trashes his economy on debt, government, tyranny, and greed. And that's happening right now, so I don't think humanism has saved us or can save us, because man's problem is sin, and humanist governments can't solve that problem. But for now, the faith here in America is very, very weak. It's dying out, and it's the church's fault. The message and the methodology of ministries today are bad. Other than that, the church is doing pretty good, outside of the message and the methodology. They're failing to convey a God-centered way of looking at the world, a God-centered reality, a God-centered way of looking at truth and ethics. They're failing to disciple fathers so that they can shepherd their homes well, so there will be shepherds in the Church of Christ. So we're getting bad fathering, bad shepherding. They're failing to do any discipleship such that people are taught to obey everything that God has commanded in His Word. Well, that used to be the Great Commission, you know, a while back. You had to disciple people in order to obey all of Christ's commandments. And I know that people now say you just got to evangelize people, get a convert, get them saved, and you're done. No, the Great Commission was to disciple them so that they would observe to do everything that Jesus had commanded in the Word. They're also failing to provide for the orphans and widows. Talk about the churches and the failure of the church to provide for the orphan and widow. They've tossed their poor out to the social estate to take care of. So the church is irrelevant in the area of poverty. They're failing to teach the law of God, how it applies to every part of life. They fail to see how the law of God fits into the unity of the gospel message, and thus have missed the gospel itself. And that is the unity of faith and repentance, the unity of justification and sanctification. They fail to understand the gospel. They're also failing to generationally integrate the churches such that the older women would actually be able to teach the younger women in the church. They're failing by separating intellectual endeavors and the inculcation of the fear of God and character in the lives of their children, thus missing the idea of what education consists of, so that the next generation is prouder and more humanist than the previous generation. Folks, we are failing. We are failing. We are failing, 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 and there are a few leaders right now that are trying to salvage the faith out of the dying Christianity in the West. But thanks be to God, there are some great leaders, and one of the most well-known voices among the Baptists is Al Mohler. He's quoted, by the way, in this recent article from John Meacom in Newsweek magazine, The End of Christian America, and we're going to follow up with Al Mohler in just a moment on this important article. Is Christianity dead in America? What's the future for the Christian faith? Al Mohler with me next on Generations. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson again. Salvaging a little faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century. Father of five in studio today with you. Also joining me now is Dr. Albert Mohler. He is the head of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Also has his own radio program, I believe, with Salem Broadcasting. Al Mohler, welcome to Generations, my friend.
Great to be with you, Kevin.
I think a lot of people are concerned, Al, about what's going on right now with the Christian faith. 80% of Christian children apparently walking away from the faith. I think it was Pew Research did a survey, found 51% of Americans call themselves Christians now, down from 70% just a few decades ago. What's going on? What's happening here?
Well, we clearly have a crisis of immense proportions in our church because we're not discipling our own young people. And that probably means we're not evangelizing them as well. We're not making sure that we do everything possible to lead them, encourage them, teach them in order that they become faithful disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's put it this way. The simple fact is that a faithful disciple does not walk away in late adolescence, never to return.
Yeah.
And so we have a crisis here. This is a flashing red light that should be right before us. And if evangelicals ignore this, we're not only really contributing to a crisis for the future of a church. We're talking here about our own children.
Yeah, yeah. And when 30 to 40% of young evangelicals go for Barack Obama, I think you've got to conclude that they didn't pick up a good biblical worldview or a biblical ethic in 18 years of Sunday school.
Well, absolutely. And it's not just that. You know, there's all kind of cognitive bargaining going on, to use the term from the sociologist. There is a real sense of moral confusion among these young people. And even if they know that they're able to give a good answer as to what they believe the Bible teaches, that doesn't mean that that's translating into the contours of their own lives.
Can we conclude that they're just not getting the message? Somehow we're not, we don't have a message that's strong enough through our churches, through our Sunday schools, even through our discipleship programs in our homes, to reach these children with a gospel that can stand up against the counter worldviews they're getting?
Well, evidently, they're just not hearing, or we're not telling the authentic gospel in such a compelling way that they can understand the difference not only between the gospel and explicit unbelief, but between the gospel and false gospels. You know, there is this very superficial Christianity that comes very easily to Americans.
Yeah.
We're living in a culture in which we're not suffering the kind of persecution that that tends to accentuate the differences between the very faithful confession of Christ and really capitulation to the culture. In many places, in many strata of our culture, young people, and for that matter older people, are able to negotiate as if they are Christians, to be recognized as if they were Christians. And there's no real requirement of testing the experience to make sure that it is an authentic salvation experience, or in growing disciples so that they are tested, matured, kind of seasoned in such a way that when we send them out with the confidence that they really do have a theological rootage, a spiritual rootage that will keep them from being snatched up.
You think a reformation of the family is as important as a reformation in the teaching of the church? I mean, is this a both and here?
Well, you know, it always is, because the family is the first church by God's intention.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the biggest problems in contemporary evangelicalism is that so many evangelicals want to franchise out parenthood to the church.
Yeah.
We want to franchise out fatherhood. And so we'll let the church do the teaching. We'll let the church take the responsibility for the youth program and all the rest. I'm not universally opposed to youth programs. That's not it. I'm opposed to the family, the parents, believing the church can do this for them. We have outsourced motherhood, to the church. We've outsourced the functions of the church. And, you know, in the secular world, this was done by an entire regime of experts that came in to say, this is how you raise children, by an entire constellation of educators who said, give us your children, we'll give you back citizens, by health experts who said, we'll tell you exactly what your children need. And many Christian parents look at that and say, that's horrifying that parents would simply give into that. And then they turn around and turn to the local church and say, okay, so you raise our kids.
Yeah. And you look in the Word of God, God's still big on parents. You see it everywhere. Ephesians 6:4, Book of Proverbs, Deuteronomy 6:7. Throughout the Word, you've got a lot of references to parents doing the work.
Well, you have not only the references, as you've well said, you have direct commands, imperatives.
Yeah. Yeah.
God said to parents, you will bear my judgment for how you raise your children. And of course, that's in the narrative sections of Scripture as well, where we see so many brokenhearted parents. You know, looking at the brokenhearted parents of the Old Testament, it seems like there would be a real motivation for God's New Testament people to be far more serious. You know, it's not only David and Absalom and, of course, Aaron and his sons and Eli and his sons.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is that the Bible is just so honest with us about what happens when we fail our children to teach them, to discipline them, to educate them, to form them. and to both create the right boundaries and then to set them loose in proper proportion.
And Al, maybe what needs to happen is pastors need to get up there and establish some urgency and address some of the complacency out there, saying, you know what, this is a matter of life and death. This is heaven or hell. If you want your kids into heaven, you're gonna have to start discipling here.
Absolutely, and you're going to have to assume that something other than osmosis is going to be the process. I talk to a lot of Christian parents who genuinely love their kids. They surround their kids with Christian things. They surround their children with Christian people. They surround their children with Christian paraphernalia, from everything from editions of the Bible to spiritual books and many things. And you know, that's very important, but we do not gain the faith by osmosis, by proximity. There has to be the direct communication of the gospel from one person to another. And then there has to be the direct mentoring and shaping in the faith from one person to another. And, you know, Kevin, you and I are going to be in agreement here. That person is to be a parent.
Yeah. You know, Al, I spoke to a bunch of Ukrainian pastors a few weeks ago, very concerned about their children. They're losing their kids right and left. Of course, they were persecuted for the faith back in the early 1990s and the 80s. And now they're here in America. Many of them migrated here, and they are losing their children to the toxic culture around them. And I wonder sometimes whether or not the cultural effects and influences out there, from the media to MTV to Hollywood to the schools, are so powerful that little Miss Jones in the Sunday school program on Sunday morning just simply cannot stand up against that 60-foot tidal wave of worldview thought that's being imposed on our children.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And by the way, your historical referent here to your conversation with Ukrainian pastors, you know, if you've been to that part of the world as I have, here's what happened. You had a church that was made up of persecuted believers in terms of the evangelical churches of Ukraine and the former Soviet Union and its satellites. And you had these churches that were filled with people who desperately knew that discipleship might cost them their lives, might cost them their jobs, their homes. Their children were raised with that expectation. Well, now in the post-Soviet Union, all these things add up to new options. Now you decide who you're going to be in Ukraine. You decide what kind of lifestyle you're going to follow. And, you know, that has happened in the United States without many of us recognizing it. We just take it for granted. Our children do not assume that they have to be anything in particular. Well, on their own, they can decide who they're going to be. One of the things we have to say to our children is that followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are not people who just adopt options. We're the people who do not merely make better choices than others. We're the people who understand that we really don't have the option as to whether we're going to obey or disobey God. We are called to obey. Everything else comes down to disobedience, and as you said, with eternal consequences. You know, when you talk about that 60-foot tidal wave, it's not just the little old lady proverbially teaching Sunday school. It's all of us trying to say to young people, look, you're going to have to learn to say no to the world, because if you can't learn to say that, the world will have you.
Which means we've got to engage some radical systems of discipleship. It's got to be a 724 kind of a deal. And that's, I'm sure, what is encouraging you to get out there and say, we've got to develop some exit strategies and get these kids out of the public schools and start giving them an education that fears God and shows them that everything, science, history, whatever, has got to be taught in the fear of God, and thereby
Absolutely.
Hopefully getting a biblical metaphysic there.
You know, you mentioned earlier Deuteronomy 6. Let's just think about that passage for just a moment. Such a clear and repetitive command to parents, addressed to fathers, first of all, about how they are to teach children. And you're sitting down and you're standing up, going out, coming in. It's a 24/7 issue, just as you said. Well, why was that so necessary? Well, here you have Israel preparing to enter the land of promise, but it's a land occupied by Canaanites.
Sounds like us, doesn't it?
It is. The Canaanites hold to worldviews that are radically different and opposite, contradictory to the scriptural worldview. The Canaanites were sacrificing to idols. They were sacrificing their children to idols. They were having sexual, orgiastic worship. They were doing things that were unspeakable. Now here's the deal. Israel's parents are being told, it's going to take everything you can give to keep your children out of the worldview, out of the grasp, out of the grip of the Canaanites. Now just imagine if instead the children of Israel had said about their own children, let's turn them over to the Canaanites for some education. That's almost exactly what happens when, in a prevailing culture that is overwhelmingly secular, antithetical in terms of its basic premises to the Christian gospel, we turn our children over to others for education. Now, I'm not saying that there's no way that you can partner with others to be a part of the classroom experience. I am saying this. It's the parents who give an answer. On the day of judgment, God is not going to require a public school teacher, a private school teacher, or a tutor to answer for my child. I'll have to give that answer.
And Alan, one of the problems may be the nature of the antithesis here. I'm not sure people understand the antithesis they're up against. They walk into public schools, they see nothing wrong with a humanistic science, humanistic view of history and all the rest, because they don't see God involved. They don't see God in the metaphysic. So maybe we've got to start communicating a basic worldview from the pulpits.
Well, absolutely, and of course, to see the antithesis, you've got to know the thesis.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We have to understand the gospel in order to understand the anti-gospels all around us. But you know, you make a very good point, Kevin. When you talk about the pulpit's responsibility here, most pulpits are afraid to deal with these issues.
Yeah.
They are afraid to actually say, "Look, the issue is not whether this school teaches that 2 + 2 = 4." Virtually any school teaches that 2 + 2 = 4. But who's going to teach your child why 2 + 2 = 4? That's the big issue. Because, you know, when you look at mathematics in terms of a secular construct, it's just, this is the way things happened.
Yeah.
From a Christian worldview, it comes down to the fact that we serve and know a creator God who created an orderly world in which, to his glory, 2 + 2 = 4 doesn't equal 5, will never equal 3, will always equal 4. And for reasons that tie everything together. Now, when you look at math, you know, quite frankly, that's not the most important issue. When you talk about science, origins, meaning, morality, you're dealing with where the water hits the wheel in terms of the distinction between the Christian view of life and every other view of life.
Yeah. I think somebody once said it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, and your children should not be wearing milk-bone pajamas when they get into that worldview conflict, and that's what's happening. These little ones are being turned over to a radically humanistic metaphysic worldview, and in the process they're chewed up and spit out, and Sunday school is not going to salvage that. So
you know, you see witnesses to this from some unexpected places. I was in Atlanta just a few weeks ago, and it happened to be on the first day of school in Atlanta for the public schools, and there was a front page story of one family. They had twins and then triplets. And very cute kids, you know, all dressed up for school. The twins are second graders, and now the triplets are going to kindergarten. And it showed them all dressed up for school. And the mom said, "You know, the day you send them to school, you lose the franchise."
Hmm.
And I thought, "Oh, mom, you are so right.
Hmm.
Have you thought about what that means?" Because she's exactly right. Once you bring other influences into the life of your children, you're bringing that influence with worldview formation and credibility and authority and all the rest. So choose wisely.
Yeah. Now let's take a step back and look at what's happening in the Western world. Islam is growing like crazy. Humanist is rotting out. I think our ideas, our families, the birth implosions are happening everywhere. Humanism is far more pessimistic than it was back in the Renaissance days and the Enlightenment days. It just seems to me that things are coming to a head here, and we have a tremendous opportunity to jump back in with a basically biblical, hopeful message concerning our teleology, concerning our faith, our hope in the resurrection, our basic epistemological construct. I mean, we can jump into this, and I think we can make some progress here, don't you think?
Well, we have to understand that we're not called to defeat. We're certainly not called to surrender. We start with our own children, our own church, you know, our own families, and then we move out with influence. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We are called to be a people who are literally catalysts for the truth. And, you know, to fail that responsibility is to fail in gospel witness.
Yeah. Well, what's wrong with the seminaries? What's wrong with the churches? How are we not preparing, or how should we be preparing our folks to establish a more robust church and theology in the 21st century?
I think a couple of things. First of all, we just have far too little expository preaching in our churches. For that matter, there's far too little preaching in many of our churches.
Yeah,
the church service is going to be, you know, 45 minutes of music, and you're just going to slip some kind of Bible lesson in, you're not going to get much Bible.
Yeah.
You know, the reality is that in many of our churches, preaching is now just marginalized. And when it does happen, it's often not the clear, careful exposition with application of the Word of God. You know, another thing is our churches are not training fathers.
Yeah.
And that is a crucial issue, because young men, boys in this society, are not naturally bred in any societal kind of form around us to understand what it means to be a father, Christian father. So the Christian churches really need to have a very strong ministry of men to other men as fathers to say, you know, buddy, you're accountable for this. Here are the tools. Here's how you do it. You know, I actually had a father that came up to me and said, I have two boys, and I do not know how to discipline them. You know, at least that was an honest statement. Well, I mean, someone in the church ought to be there to say, look, we can help you with this. We can tell you how to do this. We can tell you how to mentor, how to discipline, how to disciple. We can teach you how to exercise your authority in the home in a rightful way as God has put you there as the primary teacher, indeed the pastor of your home, the shepherd of your little flock, and how you with your wife as mother can be an incredible dynamic duo to raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
You know,
and we need churches to be able to reaffirm that. Far too many of our churches are feminized. Far too many of our churches, for reason after reason, are focused on entertainment, and they've turned especially youth programming into opportunities for just kind of a secular entertainment with some Bible verses thrown in.
Yeah.
Well, that's just a recipe for disaster, because eventually the kids will say, you know, I don't need the Bible verses. The music's actually better over here. You know, the games are actually better over there. The one thing they have to get at church that they're not going to get anywhere else is the peer-accompanied experience of being confronted by the gospel and the claims of Christ and learning how to live as Christians.
You know, Al, I wonder how much of this is just us missing the Great Commission, which isn't some kind of a narrow three-point message about the gospel, but really all 66 books and teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And that's a big project. I think we need to just do more work and do discipleship instead of this shallow evangelistic conversion experience that doesn't really yield very much in the long run.
You ask the average Christian, what is the Great Commission about? They'll say evangelism. It's not. It's about making disciples.
Yeah.
It's the comprehensive process whereby someone is addressed with the gospel, has an authentic conversion experience, is claimed by Christ in the gospel, and learns how to live, how to act, how to believe, how to negotiate, how to maneuver in society as a faithful disciple. And that's where we're stopping short. We're good at getting people to walk an aisle and fill out a card. We are not so good at turning people into faithful disciples. And that's actually the church's assignment.
Yeah, amen. Well, one last question here before we break, and that is signs of hope. I mean, are we going to be fighting our way back from the brink here of extinction as we try to salvage some faith here on the continent?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Kevin, here's a sign of hope. You and I are having this conversation.
Amen.
That's a sign of hope. It starts with this kind of thing. You know, I'll tell you this, and this just encourages my heart. Every time I have the opportunity to talk to Christian parents about this, every time I have the opportunity to talk to Christian fathers about this, I get people who get excited about it,
yeah,
who all of a sudden say, why haven't I ever been encouraged this way before?
Yeah.
And it's because Christian parents, by and large, are not trying to dodge the bullet. They just aren't being encouraged and taught and really equipped to do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have been very encouraged by this interview. I appreciate your time you've taken with us today on Generations. Albert Mohler, thank you for joining us.
Great to be with you, Kevin. God bless you and your ministry.
Folks, you have been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, and we are responding as a couple of fathers in studio to the 80% problem. That's right, 80% of children professing to grow up in Christian homes are walking away from the faith. We are living in the greatest apostasy in the history of the Christian faith, numbers-wise. Hundreds of millions of people leaving the faith in Europe, North America, Canada, and America, our country as well. And yeah, we're concerned. We want to retain something for the next generation and the next generation after that. And I think our vision, our passion was wonderfully encapsulated by Dr. Albert Mohler in the previous interview, and I appreciate his comments. Folks, this is what our vision is all about, restoring fatherhood. We will not see a reverse of the decline of faith, family, and freedom in the Western Hemisphere if we do not see fathers becoming fathers again and teaching their children God's Word as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, and as they lie down. That's the vision of this radio program, folks. Discipleship, fatherhood, relationships, a God-centered worldview. And we address these issues time and again, every day, on this radio station. I encourage you to tune in on a daily basis to our radio program. If you'd like to interact with this radio program, email me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. And by the way, if you have just come upon this for the first time and you feel that you need to step up your family discipleship, you've got to get involved and get engaged as a dad, check out our family discipleship materials at our website. That's generationsradio.com. Also, you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at generationsradio.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.
You've been listening to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This program is supported entirely by donations from our listening audience. We need 120 donors to keep this radio program airing on this station. We want to encourage you to support the program and keep Generations on the air by visiting kevinswanson.com and click on Donate Today. Thank you.
Reformation Church is sponsoring Generations Radio because we have a passion for renewing truth and relationships in a lost and lonely world. In this nation, we find the family disintegrating, morality is on the decline, the culture is embracing nihilism and existentialism, and yet church attendance remains as high as ever. Is the humanist culture impacting the church, or is the church impacting a humanist culture? At Reformation Church, we want to see the church make an impact on culture. That's why we encourage churches everywhere to bring a biblical worldview and a biblical view of ethics back to this culture. As pastors preach the Word of God, Christians everywhere should be taking Old and New Testament and applying it to politics, economics, education, art, and culture. And one more thing, we also want to see relationships renewed. Instead of fragmenting the family by the way we structure our church education and family life, let's reintegrate the family. Let's put a value on church relationships by engaging in hospitality. And let's reintegrate the family by building up relationships within the family. This is our vision at Reformation Church in Castle Rock, Colorado, and for hundreds of other churches throughout Colorado. Visit our website at www.reformationchurch.com.